Fred Film Radio, Festival de Cannes.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt McCucci from the 67th Cannes Film Festival, and I'm joined by Tamsin Egerton, the actress in Borman's Queen and Country. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Let's introduce the film for our listeners and how your character comes into the story as well. Could you do that for us?
Absolutely. So the film is about two boys on the cusp of the Korean War, and they're doing service for 2 years and they don't want to be there. Basically, they're 19 and they're learning how, you know, discipline for the first time, and it's a changing generation. So they're not really, it's before the 60s and they want to go out and sex is becoming a new thing. It's becoming a lot more free and easier and to meet ladies, and so they're rebelling, and they spark up a friendship, and they start wreaking havoc. In the meantime, it's his first love as well. So he falls in love with my character Ophelia, who is totally not suitable, but he finds her fascinating and wants to fix her, wants to help her. And unfortunately, it's a very sad story to watch. So that's who I play, Ophelia, yeah. Who's on the verge of a nervous breakdown, yeah. And is a bit older than him, and is already with someone, and is very manipulative and very very troubled, and plays with him like cat and mouse. She loves his attention,
right.
And is trying to come up with a new person to be. And he falls in love with that, and then it's all.
Yeah. In the wave of classics that this film kind of reminds me of, the classics of the 40s and the 50s, I think your character is a bit of a femme fatale. Would you agree?
Yes. Well, this is what's interesting. It's autobiographical. So it's sort of, Bill is meant to be John, and John is obviously has a passion for film, shall we say?
Yes.
Surprise, surprise. And so Bill character also does, and so his imagination runs away with him often when he's filming, when he's dreaming. There's a scene where he's dreaming of career, and suddenly soldiers are there at his bed, and he gets lost in these sort of filmic dream sequences sometimes. And I am his heroine in his film of his life, and that's what they kept trying to make me be. So we did heighten my emotions, or the light sometimes we changed, and
soft focus,
and sometimes he'd just want me to stare off into the distance, yeah. And I'd say to John, I think this is it's a little bit laying on thick, and he'd be like, nope, it's not. This is exactly what I want. It's meant to be heightened. It's meant to be.
Yeah.
It's romantic,
yeah.
And I want it to be as romantic and
right.
As also otherworldly as possible. He kept using the word otherworldly.
So otherworldly.
I want it to be otherworldly.
So like an angel, or like a devil at the same time.
Yes, sort of. So that was the thin line we had to tread. I didn't want her to be so one note. I was so up. I kept saying to John, I don't want her to be one note, and I don't think she is. And I'm thrilled at that. But I kept saying, like, when someone's sad or melancholic, and she's lost hope, you know, depressed, and she's feeling hopeless. To play that the whole time is very difficult, especially if the dialogue isn't representing that.
Yes.
To say something about her day at school, to keep that underlying loss is very difficult to play as and still make it vaguely charming to Bill. So we worked really hard and tried to find those little moments where you can see why he falls in love with her. So, you know, they do have a little bit of banter. They can debate. There is a little frisson between them when their fingers touch, and there is a sparkle in her eye with him sometimes, which we had to search for, because otherwise her journey doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
There's a very sad scene at the end of her journey in hospital, and it wouldn't have made sense if we just constantly played the hey, she's amazing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or that she's a complete hopeless mess who's seriously on the verge of a nervous breakdown from past experiences that have just cut her high and dry.
It's very interesting to see what you how you got into the character, but I'd also like to know, when you first received the script, what was it that drew you and what was it that initially attracted you to it?
Oh, so when I got that script, I was obsessed with Queen and Country.
Obsessed.
Thereafter, I wanted to do this job so much, and I kept saying to my agent, what's happening with it? What's happening with it? What's happening with it? And I put myself on tape because I was in America, and it was such a whim, and I got the call saying, yes, he'd love you. And I'm sure I danced. I'm pretty sure I danced. And then there was issues with the start date, and other jobs were coming up for me, and I started to panic because I really was obsessed with doing Queen and Country, like I said.
Yeah.
So, but we made it work to the you know, not so great fate for other things. But I kept saying to my agents, no, you don't understand.
This
role is fantastic. For me, it was. It was the fact that she was so complicated. Even when I sat down with John at rehearsals, he said, this is the most complicated, most complex role. This is a difficult one to pull off.
Yeah.
And my heart dropped because I'd hoped that he'd give me the key and then be like, it's actually quite simple. But my fears had come true, and also that made me so excited, and that's why I wanted to do her. It was a real challenge, and it's very unusual to come across female roles written in that way.
Do you find it hard to find like good female roles to play?
I do. I do. I find it. Especially my age, I think it is pretty difficult to come across roles that aren't all about either the way she looks or how sexual she is. This is the complete opposite. I mean, she has no sexual bone in her body anymore because of she's had some past bad experiences and therefore has sort of cut that part out of her and is struggling with that. And so it's... To me, I was like a moth to a flame with that.
It sounds like an exciting challenge as well. I mean, do you like to be challenged as an actress?
Absolutely. I think every actress wants to be challenged. Mm. Of course.
So you don't want to be like playing the same type of film, the same type of character?
Absolutely not. I never want to do that. I think I'd probably quit if that had to be the case. That's why I've just done a comedy, and I'm going to go off and do another comedy, and then hopefully I'll be able to do some more drama.
I just
love to mix it up because that's what life is. We're all so different. We've got so many layers to us. Each friend of mine will see a different person. We'll go to lunch with a different person. And I want to explore all avenues of characters and people and roles. I think that sounds very exciting to me.
That's excellent. And just to get a little background information on you, I'd love to know how you first came into acting. What started it off for you, and what made you want to become an actor in the first place?
This is awful. My sister is older than me, and everything she wanted to do as a kid, I wanted to do. So when she wanted to be a ballet dancer, I wanted to be a ballet dancer. And she joined the local youth theatre in my home county, Hampshire. She joined the local youth theatre. So I wanted to join the local youth theatre. And I was such a baby. I was so tiny. And then at the age of 8, there was an open audition, and kids were going for it. You know how they sometimes come to towns and things.
Yeah.
And it was like 8 green eyes, a girl, and I was like, oh, that's me. Oh my god, I'm 8 with green eyes and a girl. And I actually got up to the last 2, which made, which then somebody said, oh, you should get an agent. That's pretty good for your first time. And I did. And then I did this mini series in when I was about 11 in America, and in the and then again my local youth theatre. I just got spotted. I was doing a musical in the meantime because I was classically in training. And I got spotted, and she said, would you like to audition for the West End show? So I auditioned for the West End show, and I got that role. So then I was a lead in the Secret Garden for the RSC for a year, and that was kind of exciting. And then suddenly my parents were like, oh, this isn't summer holidays and weekends anymore, is it? And quite quickly I realised, no, this is my life, this is what I want to do.
Wow.
But people that, even at 14, you know, actors come up to me and go, is this what you want to do for, you know, for a living? I'm like, this is my living, this is my career. I was so arrogant in that regard. It just made no sense for me to carry on doing it unless it was absolutely what I want to do for the rest of my life. So my poor family, they are nothing to do with the industry, and I don't think they understood what I was getting into. Yeah. They just thought I was going for commercials and I was going to, you know, make a little bit of pocket money. But
but at the end of the day, we have to thank your sister for a wonderful performance in this film. And you have to thank your sister for being in Cannes.
Exactly. I have to thank my sister for everything. Bless my, like, oh, she's amazing. But it feels awful. I would love to be the kid that made speeches on, and, you know, or made, put on plays. Mm. I did, but obviously not for my parents. Yeah. And it was never really innately in me until my sister wanted to do it. And then,
That's excellent.
You follow suit. It's so embarrassing, isn't it? I want to do what you do. I didn't sound like a very nice little girl.
No. And anyways, this performance is excellent, and I'm sure we'll be seeing way more of you on the Croisette in the years to come.
Thanks very much
for joining us.
Bye-bye. Thank you very much.
Thanks. This is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio. 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.